Hey, okay, we are live on the Pick'em Soccer Show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And those of you that have tuned in, we thank you, as always. We have like three or four solid viewers every week, which is great. And usually they're people outside the panel, which is nice. But, yeah, so we have to give a shout-out to Seth's mom, Evan's mom, my mom.
Matt's mom.
So tonight our guest on the show is Ben Jada. He's the MLS Fantasy Insider. Is that right?
That's right.
That's okay. I think, you know, it's not like MLS Inside Fantasy. MLS Fantasy Insider. So the topic tonight is going to be the weather. No, we're going to talk about fantasy soccer, specifically MLS. And Ben, why don't you bring us in a little bit? I know there were some changes to the rules this year. Maybe you can explain a little bit about what's different about the game this year as opposed to previous years, and give us a little tutorial.
Yeah, so last year it was 15 players, $100 million was a salary cap game. This year it's 18 players, $120 million, and a couple things have changed. First major change is that you can sub right before kickoff, any player in and out. There's no more auto subs, there's no more vice captain, so it's going to be a lot more manual. And if you don't set your lineup and someone misses a game, you know, you're kind of screwed. It's just something that's going to happen. And then with the rule changes, we added second assist is getting points. Own goal assist, you get taken down in the box, you earn a penalty, you're getting points. Took away big chances fluff. A couple point changes. But other than that, the main thing was that there's no auto subs, and then the salary cap just changed a little bit, and you have 18 players.
So can you still send guys to Rochester, or does that not work in this lineup?
Well, I could send them to Rochester, and then they won't and then they won't show up in the game.
So you actually control the pool of players?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, so was it your idea to make the squads bigger?
No, it's a group. It's a group discussion. I mean, there's about five or six guys involved in this. So, you know, there's a bunch of meetings over the off season and through the preseason and everything like that. And just everybody put their input on and just kind of went from there.
And so the idea of making bigger squads and a bigger salary cap, is that sort of a way of passively aggressively trying to get MLS to do the same thing?
No, I mean, it's just, it's actually the same amount per player. So 120 for 18 players is actually the same amount for 15 for 100 million. So the salary increased, the cap increased, but it's still the same amount of value per player.
What goes into deciding how much players cost? Because especially in that first week, it seems like there's some players that are a little overvalued and some players that are undervalued.
Yeah, I mean, a lot goes into it. You know, you have to take into account what they did last year, where they're going, what position they play, you know, what their experience is like, how old they are. I mean, basically everything, you know, you would take into account of how much a team is paying them. You kind of have to take all those factors into account as well. Are they a draft? Are they a rookie? Are they a new signing? Were they drafted in the first overall? Were they drafted, you know, 50th? So a lot of things go into it.
Is there a player or two that you look at right now and say, that guy's maybe a little too overvalued, or a player or two that's undervalued right now in the league?
There's plenty. I mean, you could look at guys. You could look at Chad Marshall, and he's 8.5, and you could be like, all right, he's maybe, you know, he's too high. Or Josh Williams in Columbus, he's 8.5. You know, these are, you know, when you look at Mauro Rosales, and he's 7.5, and Josh Williams is 8.5, you think, okay, you know, I'm gonna go with Mauro Rosales, and I'm gonna get a cheaper defender. But Josh Williams had about 12, 13 points this week, so. You know, he had a really good week, one of the best in the league.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone else saw that game, but I was really impressed with Josh Williams. So, how do you So you take a player from that's coming from a different league. I guess the example that we can use this year would be Gaston Fernandez from Portland. That's a guy that along with I can't remember his name, the new attacking midfielder for Philadelphia, and then the Chilean playmaker in Vancouver. How do you assess a player like this who's coming from a different league into MLS and say this player is going to be worth this much money? Is it sort of a crapshoot at this point because you never know how they're going to adjust to the league?
No, I mean, it's kind of, you know what the player's history is. You know if he's a good player or not. And, you know, Defoe came in and he's 10.5. You know, you give them the kind of the respect that they've earned. You know, you put them in a class with the other players that kind of similar to them, and then you just go from there. I mean, midfielders can get up to 11 million, just like forwards. You know, Will Johnson, a couple other guys, Landon Donovan, Graham Zusi, they're very high, like 11 million. You know, they're top scorers in fantasy, so you probably won't see a guy come in and be priced that high until he's proven himself in the league.
And so you mentioned all those players, and those are sort of the more attacking players. I know ever since I started playing MLS Fantasy probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, you always sort of want to stay away from some players who could be really good but are defensive midfielders like Kyle Beckerman, Ozzie Alonso, Michael Bradley. How do you value a player like that who might have more name recognition but not actually provide as much of a fantasy impact?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, that's going to happen. A guy who is well-respected, he's going to probably get a little higher price tag to start, and then maybe next year he'll go down if he doesn't perform. But, you know, it's, you don't really know how a player is going to happen when, you know, what's going to happen to a player when he comes into the league. So Mo Adu, he's at 9 million right now. Bradley's, I think, at 10. You know, a couple got, Dempsey came in last year. I think he was 9.5. So you just come in, kind of give them the respect that they've earned, and, you know, and then you see what happens. And next year, you know, we'll adjust it if it comes to that.
Go ahead, Seth.
Well, I know last year you had an MLS like stars league, like the, you know, the big names of like the, in the media and stuff like that. So yeah. I'm curious, who are some of the best MLS fantasy, and who are some that don't do so well? I remember Simon Borg didn't do very well last year. I believe I came across him a few times and wiped him out.
Yeah, it was a pretty good league. Alexi Lalas was in there. Taylor Twellman. Ivis Galarsep was in there, Max Bretos, a bunch of guys from around the soccer community were all in there. As the year went on, it kind of got a little tougher on some guys, you know, just because it's so long and including playoffs last year as well. So
right.
Alexi kind of faded. Simon, you know, he's. It's interesting having a conversation with Simon about fantasy. You know, he likes the league and he likes interaction and things like that. But you know, it's some people, it's more part of their life. Some people have kids. Some people have jobs, and you know, and they lose time on it, and they can't keep track of it.
Kids and jobs.
Yeah, I don't have any kids, so you know,
I've got my kids doing my fantasy league right now, which is why I'm not doing very well at all.
How important is a team name? What are some of the funniest team names that you've come across in MLS fantasy soccer?
You know, there's so much. I haven't even really looked at some of the names, but you know, that's kind of a tough question to answer right now on the spot.
I get one off the top of my head that I've always made me laugh was from my buddy Zach Woosley, GNGFC on Twitter, who I did a podcast with earlier today on Top of the Table TV. His fantasy was I think it was always the same. It was Olympic Mayonnaise. As opposed to Olympic Marseille, it was. So that was a classic for me. But I always did something stupid like the Boston Barcodes. It was my traditional.
There's really cool names. I feel bad for not giving anybody a shout out here. One guy in my Opta League is Euro Snob, Fusitos, Falafels. Because we're in New York, so falafel is really big here.
Shawarma. You have any shawarma?
Mike Pecky equals legend. So.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's a Mike Pecky fan.
Right. So you have a connection with Opta. Do you leverage their kind of like statistical models to help decide who goes in and up and down and all that other stuff? Or did you already talk about that and I slipped through that part?
No, I'm an analyst there, a part-time analyst there. Been doing it for 3 years since they signed their deal with Major League Soccer, and that's pretty much how I got into fantasy. Was I started doing work there. I started writing articles and giving some stats to the editors there, and then I ended up getting asked to do some fantasy stuff. And then, you know, it just grew from there. So over the last 3 years, this is the third year going into it now. Cool. So it's just been growing. It's been a growing role, so it's fun.
And do you have, like, a statistical model that you use to do the weights and averages of the players and things like that to come up with their scores?
With how much points they get, or?
Yeah.
I mean, the points, like clearance blocks and interceptions, or like...
Right, well, so if somebody has a game, a really good game against a particular, against a really crappy team, do they get less bonus points? Is there like a statistical model behind that because they were playing, say, Chivas that weekend, or say Diego Fernandez scores a hat trick against...
He's playing the New England Revolution.
No, you don't get any extra points for beating up on a good team or beating up on a crappy team. It's all equal.
I'm curious, because you talked about Opta a little bit. How have you seen statistics change how coaches approach the games? Because that's become a bigger trend now. A lot of the front offices talk about how they use that information. How have you seen it? Or have you seen it that much? I mean, you're more in the office, I guess.
Yeah. I don't really see it personally, but you know, obviously the league is using it, and you know, coaches and technical staffs, they use certain data providers, and then they go about what they want to do with it from there. But that's not something I really see.
From a numbers perspective, and I'm curious because I actually haven't talked about this with anyone yet, what do you think about the league going to an away goals format in the playoffs and how that possibly is the worst rule ever?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I just think, you know, things are going to change, and basically it's just something that's going to happen. I don't really care one way or the other.
Okay.
You know, you just adjust to it. You know, it's not really that big a deal to me.
I just remember reading something somewhere, and I can totally be making this up, about statistically, like, there were fewer goals scored during the away, if there was an away goals format of rules. And I was wondering if you had heard anything like that or had done any studies possibly, or I just don't know what I'm talking about. You know, all three could be true.
They are.
I've been so wrapped up in fantasy and writing and just trying to promote the game that sometimes I don't have time to read anything. You know, I'm just so involved in it. There's only so much time for everything else.
Seem like this year the league put a much bigger emphasis on fantasy. Not that it wasn't last year, but it seems like this year there was a huge push with the videos and the articles. Why? Why is it so important for MLS to push that so hard?
I just think it's like the league. It's growing, you know, and it's something that has kind of been a startup project the last couple of years. You know, fantasy has been around for a while, but it hasn't really taken off anywhere, and it's the third year of their partnership with ISN Games, so I think that that made them, you know, they're taking steps to grow it, and people are joining the game. So it's been growing very well the last couple of years, and I think, you know, MLSsoccer.com is a very tech savvy company. They always want to one up somebody. They always want to do something better. So I think this year you saw with the new design, it really incorporated MLSsoccer.com theme into the game so that when you were switching between the game and the site, it didn't look like you were switching to a different site. It looks like you're all within the same site. And that's something they worked hard on in the offseason to get with the developers to get that done.
Yeah, it seems pretty impressive to how far it's come, because I know even a couple years ago, I believe it was the first year where they had the new website when they switched from MLSnet.com to MLSsoccer.com, they actually didn't even have a fantasy league for that that first year. So everyone had to go play some, I don't even know, on some random site that took like a day to update, and it just wasn't fun for anyone. I think that's sort of when I stopped really playing, and I hadn't really played since then until this year, where you know people have been getting on me because I feel like it's a lot more of a big deal. And so are you actually employed, like, is that your full-time job as MLS Fantasy right now?
No, or? So I work for Opta part-time, and I'm also contracted by MLS to do all their fantasy stuff. So not full-time at either place. Kind of just have my hand in here and here. And then I also coach as well. So I have three jobs. I'm not really sure what I like the most. I like coaching. I coached at a high school last season. I'll probably do it again this season. I like doing statistics. I like doing fantasy. Just trying to figure out where I want to go with it. Obviously, I like soccer, and I want to stay involved in it. I'm not sure where I'm thriving, but you know, wherever I'm going to be, I'm going to try, you know, my best.
I got to ask you about the sweatshirt hanging.
I was just about to ask that.
What is that all about?
Wait, before you answer, is Carlos Valderrama the one exactly in the middle?
He is, yeah.
Okay, cool. He is. Just making sure. Oh, did we lose him?
That's Daniel Niari's work. Am I here?
Yeah, you're there.
You lose me?
No,
you're still there.
I work with Christian Niari. He's a
He's a really like a Germany
fanatic.
Yeah.
Does some Bundesliga writings, things like that. His brother Daniel Niari is an artist and an illustrator, and this is his Playmakers piece. And he has a company that does prints for him and things like that. And for my private fantasy league that I set up, you know, I know that some people couldn't get some of the prizes from MLF last year, and prizes were reduced from 200 to 10 this year, and some people are ineligible to receive prizes. So I wanted to set up a league that could reward players and get some good prizes in the league. So I was just showing off this Daniel Niari sweatshirt because he's does some great work, and he's sponsoring one of the prizes in my league. And then I also got Upper 90 Soccer. See that those cleats over there?
Nice.
They're a local soccer store here in New York, and they're sponsoring a bunch of stuff in my private league as well. So I'm really happy to have them helping me out and being able to, even if someone in Europe wins a prize, we're going to get it to them. You know, if someone wins a prize in a state that, you know, is ineligible for MLSsoccer.com, they're still going to get the prize in my league. So I tried to get a lot of people to sign up for it and promote it, and, you know, we got over 1,000 people in my own league, so it's pretty cool.
So we'll get you out of here soon, Ben, because I know we sent around 20 minutes, but I got to ask you a few more. One, I got to ask you about your brother, Richard. Obviously, he was an interesting figure, having that big speech and stuff like that. What's he up to nowadays? And how did you feel when he gave that speech? Was it like a cringeworthy moment for you, or was it like a, yeah, you got to do it, you know, type of thing?
Yeah, I wasn't there. I was following the draft online, and it was getting up there, and I was like really nervous. I felt, you know, really bad because he was there. He had went there to attend the NSCAA convention because he was a second team All American, so he stayed for the draft, and it was a, you know, it was a big moment for him. I didn't see the video until a while after because no one had footage of it, and you know, like in 2009, there was like no way to do this, you know, like it was very poor production or whatever. But you know, when I saw it, I still watch it to this day. You know, I followed my brother's career in soccer very closely. I started a blog for him and in college, and tracked him through there, and then tracked him through his trial with the Fire, and then overseas and things like that. And people really caught on. People were interested. He was a part of the Rookie Life series.
Right.
And I remember he was the only one not to get a contract from the Rookie Life, and they sent him a camera. I took videos of him and stuff like that. We sent it back, and it was a fun process. He's in North Carolina right now. He's you know, just working working a job, and he's married, and he's got a kid, a girl on the way coming next month. So I'm actually heading down next weekend for the baby shower. So it should be fun.
Did you take that video of him making the basketball hoop with a basketball hoop? That was from like what, 50 yards away or something? That was you? That was legendary. I wanted him to sign with New England after I saw that.
his story was so inspirational. It was such a cool moment in history, you know, to have that. Because all these guys that get drafted and they sometimes don't make it and they never have their moment. For him to actually take that moment was awesome.
And was he at Campbell?
Yeah, they don't know. Yeah, he was at Campbell. Yeah. He was at Furman with Shea Salinas and Johnny Leathers and. Right. You know, he had a little problem there with the coach, and he ended up leaving. He took a year off, and then Campbell offered him a full ride, and he took it. Wake Forest offered him a 50% scholarship because that's all they could offer at the moment. And I'm just wondering if, you know, if you went ahead and took that 50% scholarship, where would he be? You know, he'd be getting drafted with Sam Cronin and Marcus Tracy. A lot of these guys he played with on Carolina Dynamo PDL, and you know, it's tough because he had a very impressive college career, and he ended up, Campbell ended up beating UNC 3 years in a row, and he scored the game winner in two of them, got the game winning assist in one, but you know, not a lot of attention was drawn to Campbell, so that's why I started the blog. I wanted to get him more attention and get Campbell more recognition and things like that, and you know, it just worked out.
So where, if your brother was to join the league right now, what would you give him for a fantasy score?
Fantasy
and what team would you think he best fit into as well? So give him a fantasy amount and a team you think he'd best fit in with.
You know,
on the spot.
it's crazy because my brother, he's like a playmaker. He's a finesse guy. He likes to do moves. He likes to take people on. And I think when he tried to come into the league, people weren't really receptive to that. They wanted a structured guy who was going to play this way and who wasn't going to be creative. Now you see more creative players. Right. So I think he came in at a real bad time, especially when they eliminated the reserve division. They dropped rosters to 28 to 24. And, you know, guys were only making $12,900 for a developmental contract back then. So it's progressed since then. As far as the team goes, that's a tough one. I don't know. I give him a midfield score. He'd be an attacking midfielder. All right. If he was a starter and he was solid, I mean, right by now he'd probably have 5-6 years in the league, I guess, based on the draft. He had about 5 years in the league. So he'd probably be scoring goals. He'd probably be like a best 11 or something like that. So he'd probably get like, I don't know.
Is he watching right now? Hi, something. Richard.
No, he's actually. I think with visiting my friend right now. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know what club he'd fit into. You know, he could fit into any club. I think with a good coach, someone that's going to be supportive and back him, and, you know, certain players have certain emotions, you know, and I think that's really, some players thrive when they go to certain clubs because of the coach, and some players, they don't thrive because of the coach. So if he went, you know, he really spoke highly of Frank Klopas. He didn't think, you know, Dennis Hamlett really liked him, but, you know, it just depends on who you get drafted by And I think that really determines how your career goes. You know, who's going to give you a shot, who believes in you, and things like that.
So we'll get you out of here on this. Can you give us a name that you think will be a big sleeper this year? And can you give us a name that you think maybe people should stay away from that maybe has a bigger salary than they deserve? For fantasy, of course.
Yeah. Well, I think you saw a bunch of sleepers this weekend. You know, Remick played and rookie Remick there. McNamara played, rookie there. Benji played. You know, these guys scored goals. They produced, and they're all very reasonably. Sorry, they're cheap. They're very cheap. I don't like to call a player cheap, but I try to say inexpensive or valuable or something like that. Eric Miller in Montreal, he got a start. And you know, the thing with rookies is that they get into the league and people don't really have it figured out, so they have a good year. And then they have the sophomore slump. So you see some guys who had a good rookie year, then maybe they're a little higher priced and they have a little slump or they have a drop-off. You know, so maybe Dylan Powers, maybe he doesn't have a great year this year. He started to suffer from injuries last year. He had some concussion problems. You know, maybe that's the guy you stay away from right now. He might be a little overpriced. I think you saw what, if you want a sleeper, I mean, he's 8.5. It's Pedro Morales came in and absolutely crushed it in like 20 minutes for Vancouver. Had one of the top scores this week, and I think Vancouver's, they got a really dynamic attack. And you saw Fernandez did good as well. I had Rosales on my team. Rosales had a really great week. I also like Boniac Garcia, even though he's at 10.0 million. I think he's a guy that some people aren't going to buy just because it's kind of like Houston. He's not flashy, but he's the type of guy who's going to be playmaking for them for sure.
Plus, Houston doesn't play New England every week, so it might not work out completely.
That's true. I mean, you got guys like Joao Plata who are getting starts right now because Devin Sandoval and Robbie Finley are out with injuries, and Joao Plata had a really good week as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of good guys that are very valuable out there. You don't always have to go with the high-priced guys to get you points, and I think that's, you know, Robbie Keane could have had a good week, you know, this week. He could have had a couple goals. I mean, he hit the post. He had a great assist to Donovan, you know, things like that. He could have had a huge week, but people captained him. They got 2 points, you know.
The crossbar had a really good week this week,
I think. Yeah. Can you add the crossbar in fantasy?
Yeah. I wish it could select him.
There were a lot of
really great weekend.
There were a lot of PKs, too. I think there were 5 PKs in the first week. I'm not sure if that's a record. We were talking about it at the office, but...
And we didn't really talk about it, but is this... Are you going to handicap these guys because the referee situation is kind of suspect, being that they're all, you know...
I don't think they did as bad as...
I think the scores are going to go up a little bit.
There were some questionable calls, but I thought they did fine overall.
Some referees were questionable. Offsides not called and some penalties that were maybe dives.
The MLS referees are not even good normally, so...
come on.
I mean...
you're right. Okay, so it's negligible.
We'll say goodbye to you as we go into some sort of ranting about refereeing, whatever else. Thank you so much. I'm stuck at 49 points, so hopefully, at the very least, you'll help me and inspire me to next week.
Just go into his account, add a few more points on for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, can you please do that? That'd be nice.
No, there are stat corrections, and they come out obviously next week. Monday, Tuesday is when they're all handled, and then you get the new updates on Wednesday. So your points could change, you know, very well. I think there was a little glitch with the second assist this week, so some of those players are going to get credit for assists that they weren't, because obviously now second assists are counted the same as regular assists. You know, just a couple little glitches this first week, and I think it's going to be a really fun year. I'm really excited for it, and I think it's just going to keep growing. It's going to keep getting better and better. Are you guys in my league?
I think so.
Why don't you give out the number for your league, and we'll have
It's closed. You can't You can't get in now. It's a head-to-head league.
Hank is the type of person that shows up at the bar right before it closes, and they're like, no, man, you can't come. You're like, man, no, come on.
One more drink.
There's, I mean, you can still get into classic leagues, and you can still set up your own head-to-head league or your own classic league. So
we have a classic league.
You do.
So if you want to join our league,
I'm actually at my max right now. I mean, believe it or not, I would love to get in it, but who's in my league? Which one are you?
I'm in
my league. You okay?
Yeah.
You gonna come get some prizes?
I hope so. I want that that shirt behind you.
Yeah, you can get that. I'm upper 90s giving away a bazooka, a World Cup bazooka, $100 gift card, a MLS bazooka, a bunch of prizes. So, you know, it's pretty fun. Are you in it, Evan?
No, I just made my team like 2 days ago, and I kind of did a bare bones thing and just joined our league. I felt like it would have looked bad if I wasn't in our own league, so I hastily put something together, and Seth and I are now tied for 10th in our league, which
we both had a mustache in our name too.
Yeah, so. We both had mustache in our name. So
you got.
There are only nine teams in the league too, so it's kind of
I think we have both 29. Tied for 10.
I was just gonna say you got more than three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Hank's not in it. Hank's not in it.
No, I'm that guy with the kids and the job. Yeah, that's me.
We have 29 people.
That's great. I didn't realize it was gotten that big. That's good.
Are you guys
from Chamberlain's in 26th?
Are you guys head to head or classic?
It's classic, I think.
Yeah, it's that's the way I like to go. I'm not to brag or anything, but 1 year I did get 326th in the league, and I won a free poster. So yeah. That's just always the way I've wanted
where,
to.
Where's that poster now?
It's up on the ceiling, right there.
Nice. I have that poster, too. I won that year, too. That same year, no one did fantasy because I also went to that year there was a pay league, and I won, like $250 because no one did it.
What?
There was, like, 50 people that did it, and the top, like, 75 paid out. So, like, it didn't even make sense how the league was structured.
Yeah, I won free MLS Live 1 year, and I was like, I didn't even realize it. They just emailed me once, and they're like, "Oh, you get MLS Live for free." I was like, oh, cool.
Who are your guys' sleepers or guys you're looking for this year?
Oh, well, let's see. Bobby Burling's a goal-scoring machine.
He is right there. Just in general, not from a fantasy perspective, but who impressed you this week or who didn't impress you?
I was very, 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 very impressed with Federico Higuain of Columbus Crew. I voted for him for MLS Player of the Week. I thought that he just completely dominated DC United. It was sort of when we all watched the Sporting Kansas City versus Seattle game, how Graham Zuzi in the first half kept finding himself behind the midfielders but ahead of the defenders, and so he was getting a lot of good chances to run at Seattle's defense. Federico Higuain did that for the whole entire game. He was spraying one-touch balls everywhere. His forays into the final third sort of let the outside backs attack as well because he was drawing a lot of defenders to him. So both outside backs, Francis and Williams, had amazing games. I thought they were really good, but it was also against Davey Arnaud, who's old, and Nick De Leon, who doesn't play defense. So
I thought Parkhurst showed really well too.
Parkhurst was great too.
I think he's going to be one of the because attention's kind of shifted off him because they're dealing with they're looking at Toronto and DC and stuff like that. But I think that was a really big pickup this year, even though we already knew who he was.
He destroyed it. Sorry, go ahead.
With Columbus, the thing that stuck out to me in that game was just Will Trapp coming back in between the two center backs, and that really allowed Francis and Williams to get up the field. And you notice pretty much when Columbus had possession out of the back, Williams and Francis weren't even in the screen. It was pretty much Parkhurst and Gonzalez, and Trapp was in the middle between them, and they were basically on the sidelines waiting to just get way up the field. So that was just something I think is very different from last year on the way they approached the game, and I think it exploited DC a little bit, and those guys were able to get up the field and cross the ball in.
I was happy with Vancouver, the guys you named too. Like, I couldn't believe some of the passing they'd done because they were one of the teams that flew under the radar, and I thought there's gonna be some guys to pick up on that team.
Watch for it to end.
Sorry. Well, they added those guys. They added Morales really late. They added Mosqueda and Fernandez, you know, not too long ago. So they were guys that we really didn't know what to expect from. And I think you kind of come in here and you see them. They were crushing it. They were, you know, they destroyed New York, and they looked pretty dynamic up there. What about you,
Hank? I remember with two of those guys, Carl Robinson actually said, like, I've never seen these guys play. I just heard good things about them. So, you know, if Carl Robinson hasn't seen these guys play, how are you supposed to rate these guys, you know? Or how's anyone else supposed to rate these guys?
Yeah, well, for me, a big surprise, actually, because I've never been a big fan of his. He was great his first year out. Last year he had a bit of a slump, was Will Bruin. And I kind of talked smack about him all offseason that he wasn't as good as everybody made him out to be. And then he came out and he had that brilliant strike, his very first goal, his first goal of the season, first goal of the game, et cetera, like minutes into the game, just put me to shame. So he's my I expect a lot out of him already because that so hopefully I will jinx him. He'll jinx him for the rest of the season.
He missed that huge breakaway.
That was a good save by Bobby on that one. So
It was a good foot save on there. Yeah.
Yep.
It wasn't Jerry Benson's 2 yard.
Oh man.
Who? Poor Jerry. Who? He just can't get a break.
Who?
He should have been there.
Bangston?
Yeah, you gotta bring back not goal of the week. On MLSsoccer.com because of that. That's like Kai Kamara stuff. Remember that Kai Kamara?
Yeah. Well, that was bad.
Will Bruin, last year, he had, like, he missed about 18 big chances is the opposite definition. It's, you know, you're supposed to pretty much reasonably expected to score. He led the league in big chances missed last year, so he had one there with the breakaway. He did. So he's kind of like showing you signs of good stuff, and then he has that little mental lapse there. It was a good save, though. I will give him that.
Yeah, it was a very fortunate save as well. It was a real one-sided affair for most of the first half, but the second half I thought was a lot better for the Revs. Not our finest moments, that's for sure.
Who are you guys? Who do you guys support?
The Revs. The two of us in... Evan, who do you support?
I support the United States men's national team. And
support America?
I support local football.
There's a plug.
I wore this shirt.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that's what it was.
What is that? Oh, too bad Abrams.
I like it.
I went to the Jason Christ press conference when they introduced him as the coach in New York, and they were giving these out, so I just scooped one up.
Nice.
That's great.
But I don't really wear it. I just thought I could wear it on the show because I don't really have much MLS gear. I got a bunch of Chicago Fire gear, actually. My brother gave me a bunch of his training stuff. So when I play soccer, I got like the nice preseason jerseys, the sleeveless jerseys with the Best Buy on it, and
Chicago Fire
and things like that. Yeah,
this is not working. Chicago Fire.
What's that?
That's my niece. My brother apparently made her a Chicago Fire fan today. So
that's too bad.
Yeah. one open cup every 5 years for the rest of your life. And nothing else. I don't have anything to say. Sorry.
on that note,
there you go. Well, that's great. I mean, I think it's great. We'd love to have you back on the show anytime. You feel like talking soccer? We'd love to have you. That'd be great. Ben, where do people? I mean, are you still writing for MLS Soccer as well?
Yeah, I mean that's my main. That's my main thing. I'm writing 4 or 5 articles a week for them for fantasy. So last week it was 7 or 8. I was just in overload mode, trying to get content out there, trying to get, you know, people to create leagues and you know, promote their leagues and try to coordinate things with people and just try to spread the word about it, because not a lot of people entering, like, new beginners and things like that. They don't know how to play, and there's, you know, they have difficulties setting up their team or doing this and doing that. And I focus a lot on trying to help people get set up in the game and trying to help them understand what went wrong, or if there's something going on, or if they have a question. That's pretty much where a lot of my time goes to, is responding to them.
My big rule is I try to avoid New England Revolution players. That way, if they lose, I'm not double angry. You know, like I'll honestly pick up players from the other team. That way, it's just like win-win for me.
Yeah,
so that's really my big strategy.
I don't really support a club, so I mean, I don't really care than that. But I think Fagundes and Rowe could have some great years. I think they're a very talented group of players there.
I think so. Yep. Yeah. And I thought Raimondo and Pineda were lights out last night, exchanging back and forth. They were two great goalkeepers. I got Pineda, unfortunately, because he didn't get the shutout. But
on João Plata was save of the week. But sorry, go ahead.
I missed the second half of that game. But Raimondo ended up with 15 points. He led all players this week because he got that shutout. He stopped the PK. I mean,
it's huge.
You could say the post was his best friend there on the Robbie Keane shot, because that Robbie Keane shot,
that looked like it was going in.
He could have scored that. You know, Raimondo was just standing there. He had no shot at all, and Keane had about this much more that he could have just passed it into the goal. So I think it was it's a little lucky, but I mean, he deserved all the points he earned.
Can Nick Raimondo trade in some of those points for a starting spot in the World Cup, or is that not possible?
I don't think so, but you know, he's a very impressive keeper. You know, he's probably my favorite keeper in the league. You know,
and he's never won Goalkeeper of the Year, right?
Nope.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Because a lot of our media are idiots and don't actually pay attention to the games. Donovan Ricketts should have never won Goalkeeper of the Year either time. He's not actually good. So even though he's my fantasy keeper, because he was fairly reasonably priced, I don't think Donovan Ricketts is actually good at soccer. So that's my little.
Look, he's a little awkward and lanky, but I mean he has made some incredible saves, you know, and I think that's what people, they see that and they give him credit for it.
Because they see, it's really easy to make a great reaction save after you're out of position the whole time. So, this is just me ranting. I do this frequently, but
yes, you do.
Yeah, I'll just stop. You know what?
Zach Thornton was also Goalkeeper of the Year. Do you want to rant about him? Come back and talk about Zach Thornton.
Was Zach Thornton not Goalkeeper of the Year two times as well, like 10 years apart?
Amazing to me. Never get into a trivia battle with this guy.
He was straight up, and the next time he won, no, actually, I don't think he won it. He was like a finalist, and I think John Bush won, but he was straight up in Snacks Thornton mode the next time when he was at Chivas USA.
He wasn't bad that year.
Yeah, wasn't under 250 pounds. Sorry,
Evan. Who was the leading goal scorer in 2005 in MLS?
2005, it was Taylor Twellman. He won MVP. He scored 17 goals.
There you go. That's all you have to remember.
It's crazy. Some of the guys I work with at Opta, and they're the unbelievable minds. I mean, they know the league. They know different leagues, extensive knowledge of Mexico, Germany, English Premier League. You know, they know a lot about players individually. So it's been a pleasure working with them too, because I've learned a lot. I wasn't a huge history soccer guy. I don't really know a lot from the past, and I can't really retain that information for some reason. So it's good to have people around me that can just, you know, say, hey, this was that, or this was that. Because I can't do what Evan did just there and name off stuff like that.
He's exactly right. I looked it up.
It's not that I have a great mind. It's that I don't have a life. So I would not give me praise. I would say that, Evan, you should be more balanced in your life and go out or something instead of just looking at Wikipedia all day. but that's just never going to happen.
How'd you get on the show then?
I actually met Hank on a road. I did a 53-day road trip as part of my final college project. He's still up on the internet. It's MLSroadtrip.com. I wrote about different supporters groups across the country, and I met Hank actually playing literally pickup soccer at Harvard's campus. And I met Hank, and then I met Abram.
You left out the good show. Part.
What, you, like, scored a bunch of offside goals?
I scored four goals on
it.
Yeah.
He ranked up the fantasy points for the offside goals.
Fantasy points.
Hank, you're the FIFA.
Four on four. How is there offside?
Hank, it was at least 5-on-5. It was at least 5-on-5, and you were the Filippo Inzaghi of pickup soccer.
Totally.
And you score these crappy goals. You toe poke some slow rollers into the middle of the goal when like three people weren't playing defense, and then you celebrate
you've never been there before. From 2000, and you can't remember the smackdown I laid on you last.
I have selective memory, and. Because you don't remember the 40-yard bangers I was scoring, so...
Oh, that happened, yeah.
It did happen.
All right, I got one for you. Who made the first call on the first goal in MLS?
Phil Shane.
Jeff Bradley just did an interview with him. It was really cool. I'd never seen that goal. I had never heard of it, but, you know...
Was that the own goal from New York?
No, it's the goal where Ronaldo made Jeff Agus look
like... Oh, sorry, right. I got confused with that one.
Yeah, Phil Shane. Phil Shane is a... if you can look up on my Twitter favorites, Phil Shane told me to go fist myself once.
nice.
So, I was calling him out because he wasn't doing a very good job of broadcasting. So it was just once. I think he's normally a great broadcaster. He didn't have a great day that day.
On that note, Evan is now off the show.
Yeah, well, I would understand. I would understand if that were the case.
I think Evan has probably pissed off more high-profile people in the world of soccer than most of us can ever hope to.
I don't think Ben knew what he was getting himself into when he decided
to pick up
soccer.
Is that what you do, Evan? You go and battle with people?
I'm not one of those guys who goes and starts battles with people. I'm someone who actually calls people out when they're doing stuff that I don't like that they're doing, and a lot of people with big egos don't appreciate that. So I am a member of the media. I write for a newspaper here in Davis Enterprise, and I feel like I should be holding public figures. Yeah, thanks, Seth. I feel like I should be holding public figures accountable, and I think that's part of my job. So, especially in the soccer world, in which I'm trying to sort of make it as a soccer writer. Per se.
Where are you based?
Davis, California. It's 10 miles west of Sacramento. So. I'm doing some stuff with Sac Republic FC right now, and I occasionally do some stuff with the Earthquakes. So, or for them, not for them. I cover them occasionally, but not as much as I'd like because I'm about 2 hours away from San Jose, which is too far to regularly cover them, I guess I would say.
Gotcha.
For a lack of eloquency.
There's not such a thing. With you, sir.
Evan, want to trash anyone else right now?
No. I would like to trash Hank Alexand. he's not actually as good at soccer as he thinks he is. Hank, you're the Will Bruin of this podcast.
I totally am.
All right, we should wrap it up. We've been on for about 50 minutes. Is that about good?
That's a good night.
All right. Well, I want to thank Ben Jotta for joining us at Ben_Jotta. Is that correct?
Yep.
Check out his work on fantasy soccer. And as always, we want to thank Evan Ream for...
sorry.
For
classing up the
making
joint.
Making sure that we can't get a guest in the future and Hank and all that good stuff. So thank you. You've been watching Pick Up Soccer, and we'll see you later.
Cheers, everybody. Cheers.